And let's welcome the Eagles' outstanding future Hall of Fame center, Mr. Jason Kelce. How you doing, Jason?
Joe, how we doing?
Good, man. Jason, I was just referencing the movie The Program. When John and I were young, we're a little younger than you. We loved that movie. Have you seen the movie The Program?
30 pounds and an attitude to match? Of course I have. Yeah.
Is it the best football movie, Jay? What is, in your opinion, the best football movie of all time?
I don't know. It depends on what you're looking for. You're looking for, like, an uplifting, like, crazy, like, joyous story. I think it's pretty hard to beat Rudy.
Did you cry at Rudy?
Yeah, I still cry.
I did,
at Rudy.
Too.
I mean, it's an incredible movie, and I think it's a movie that every time you watch it, you – I don't know. It's just the soundtrack, everything behind it is just so well done. The program is, I mean, just a, like, it's almost like a dirty movie that you just love. And it's a very over the top dramatized version of kind of the realities of college football. And some of the crazy parts of it. And, It's outlandish, just, I mean, it's awesome. I really do love The Program.
Do you,
The Program,
Jason,
is probably,
yeah, go ahead,
is up there. So I put three movies for me, and there's, I like,
don't say Remember the Titans. Don't even do it.
No, I do love Remember the Titans. It's great, but that was not the third movie. The third movie I was going to say might be one of the most quoted movies I've ever had in my lifetime, which is Waterboy.
Oh, yeah.
I love Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
So, going complete opposite. So, you go, like, over-the-top serious, like, inspirational Rudy.
Yeah.
Then you got, like, a overly dramatized, kind of dirty and raunchy a little bit with The Program. And then just a slapstick, like, enjoyable Sandman movie,
totally,
with Waterboy.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, Jason, we're going to get to you guys and the Chiefs in a moment. One more movie question. Do you know? And man, since you like Rudy so much, I almost hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. Do you know that Joe Montana has come out and said that Rudy was carried off the field as a joke? That the like the jerks on the team, like the John Ritchies of the world on the team, the big macho guys, were basically ridiculing Rudy for being like a try-hard practice guy, and the starters basically carried him off to be kind of jerks to him.
Yeah, and I actually saw a guy I went to college with. His dad was at Notre Dame around the same time as Rudy. And, yeah, I think there's a lot of creative leeways that the filmmakers made in that movie.
Right.
I don't think that means it's anywhere. That takes away from the movie. But, yeah, I think in real life, it turns out that Rudy probably – might not have been as beloved, maybe, as the movie portrayed. But,
you'll hold on to the fantasy.
Movie.
We all love the fantasy.
Yeah, it's still a good movie.
Yes, it is.
Don't let the truth get in the way of your story.
Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah. All right, Jason, let's get to you guys in KC. So you got a big old game Monday night. Number one seed implications for both squads. You lost to them in the Super Bowl. How much have you thought about that as you've begun the transition from the bye to let me get my mind right to prepare for this game? Have you dwelled on the rematch from the Super Bowl factor?
No, I mean, we're going to get asked that question a lot, which is going to bring that kind of back. But, I mean, you know, the reality is that this game is not going to do anything to make up for the Super Bowl or – you know, they're not going to, you know, it's, that game is done and it's over. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, we didn't win it. And it sucks, but this is a new game. And, you know, it's a new team, even though we have a lot of similar pieces. That's why I don't even like the word rematch, because both teams are different than they were last year.
How different they are, Jason? Like, when I look at the way that Chiefs defense runs their defense, it's like unrecognizable. What you guys saw 9 months ago is completely different than what you're about to see on Monday night, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're much better defense than what we faced in the Super Bowl. You know, these guys are, you know, you'd be hard pressed to show me a team that's, you know, played more consistent, good defense in the NFL, really, at this point. I mean, they play really well together. Spagnuolo is on his A game, man. He is mixing up blitzes. He's mixing up coverages. Everything looks the same. They are doing such a good job as a unit on that side of the ball. And I watch a lot of those games because Travis obviously plays over there. So whenever I have downtime, I'm watching them. And really the story of that team, you know, since Pat Mahomes has been there, has been the offense. This year, and I'm not taking away from Pat Mahomes and the offense, they're still stellar. Their defense has been phenomenal this season. And it's kept them in games, and it's a big reason why they're at the top of the AFC right now.
You know, last week you got a chance to get away and do the broadcasting experience thing. I didn't have a chance to ask you how you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I first of all, loved it. I'm incredibly honored to even go and do something like that. You know, I think I was fortunate to get to know a lot of these people through the broadcast boot camp, and then we ended up selling the Kelce documentary to Amazon. So we got to know a lot of the executives and people that did Thursday Night Football. And, you know, they kind of threw it out there if I'd be interested. And, you know, I've been trying to learn more about what goes into all of that. And it was almost like, you know, shadowing school. You know, you're just kind of a little puppy dog following everybody around. Andrew Whitworth to show me how things work. And you see how the preparation goes into it, the production meetings, you know, how you get to what is actually being said on air and the pre and post shows and what happens up in the booth. I mean, the booth was, there are a lot of times where you're really caught off guard at, you know, how good people are at their job. And, you know, both on the panel with these guys riffing off of each other, and then upstairs, especially in the booth with Al Michaels and Kirk. And, you know, they got, you know, Kirk's got three different TVs in front of him. He's got the game TV, what fans are seeing at home. He's got the TV where, you know, he can mark it up and the telecaster or whatever. And he's got the TV where he can rewind and play and yeah, all of these things. And then they are also talking to his own producer, and Al Michaels is talking to his own producer. And then between the four of them, they're mirroring it up. And then those two producers in the truck are talking. I went into the trucks, and I mean, I'm like, dude, how many freaking, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What goes into making this whole product.
How annoying.
Live.
How annoying was it? They kept showing a Bears-Panthers game during your interview with Herb Street and Al Michaels.
Well, that was the you know, I don't know that I got a real light feel for what it's like to call a game. You know, I just basically got interviewed, right?
Well, yeah.
And that was even more like, you know, Kirk is in the – they're asking me questions but still commenting on the game and, like, rewind. I'm like, I don't know how you guys are doing all this at once, but
Well, yeah, what's amazing to me.
The game wasn't great, yeah.
Right, right. What's amazing to me, though, Jason, you're able to see what 22 guys are doing at one time. Yeah. I've never understood that. Like, you can look at that snapshot of a field and tell anyone what everyone's doing. How in the world do you take all that in, incorporate that, and then regurgitate it for public consumption for your teammates? I do think the fact that you do that for every play sets you up to be able to do this outside of football as well.
Well, I, you know, we'll see. I think it was I do think that the color and, like, the game day stuff is, you know, listen, everybody says you're going to miss the game when you get done playing, and you're going to miss football, and there's only so many avenues you get to, you know, to use that expertise that, you know, we've built up, you know, this long our lives building. And, you know, that's, you know, being at the game, there's something about it. Being with a live, you know, you're kind of in your own game because it's live, and there's all these people, and you feel like you're a part of a team a little bit. So I think it was pretty enjoyable, and very, very honored that Amazon would even let me do that.
Jason Kelce with us here, as he is every single Wednesday morning. All right, so Jason, please beat Andy Reid one time before you retire.
I mean, Jesus,
I mean, my God. So he beat you in 2013. Yeah. You snap the ball.
Yeah.
You think the center's the quarterback's under center. He's in the shotgun. All right. I'm not ripping. I'm joking around. 2017, you guys win the Super Bowl, but Andy gets you week two. He gets you again, obviously, in Philly in 2021 with Tyreek Hill as the three touchdowns. He gets you last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, this guy's good, but, I mean, let's not let him go undefeated against you.
Yeah, I love Andy. I would you know, there's two teams that I haven't beaten this year that are on the schedule, and it's the Chiefs and the Seahawks. So, yeah, these are I'd love to get a win. Try not to make that the main focus. You try and just focus on, you know, the little keys to victory and doing your job and staying locked in. But, yeah, it's Andy's had our number since he left Philadelphia. Looking forward to the game this week.
Hey, Jason, one final thing here. If you could, a compare and contrast Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid in the private moments. I mean, we know what we see publicly, but the private moments, what are these guys like that's similar, and in what ways are Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid different? They're the, you know, two of the four coaches you've played for in pro football.
Yeah, it's tough for me to analyze Andy because I was so young. Like, I feel like at that stage, I was not analyzing coaches. I was just, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like, and Andy had been there for so long at that point that, you know, I just, you know, I was just trying to earn a spot on the team. And then my second year, I got hurt. And I think Andy undoubtedly, you know, he had this aura to him when I got here. And that was later in his career. And it was this aura that, you know, nobody, you know, I don't really know how to say it. You know, it was, he was well respected. Everybody loved him. You know, we were here when everything happened. It's hard to truly compare the two. You know, and then obviously I was here for Nick when he first got a head coaching job, and you know, the press conference and all these, like, you could see him working into being a head coach. So it was two very different parts of their careers. I think that I think one, they're both outstanding leaders. I think that they take accountability as good as anybody. I think, you know, they might be a little bit different in maybe how they speak, you know, I think, or maybe their mannerisms and whatnot. But they both take accountability for their mistakes. They both hold you accountable to your mistakes. I think that Nick, Nick does such a phenomenal job in our team meetings and such a phenomenal job at the overall game management side of it. And that's not to say that Andy didn't do that. Again, I was so young.
Yep.
Nick is eye-openingly, and I've said this before, I think he really is the most productive team meeting coach I've ever been around. Between the clips of the game, the clips of what people did well, people didn't do well. He really gets a lot of value out of those clips. He really goes out of his way to talk to each different group. He's an outstanding communicator. He's an outstanding facilitator of communication, which I think is important as a head coach. I think Andy is a very serious. He's tough nosed. He has this aura about him at this point in his career because he's been so successful. But he's funny in a way that, you know, once you you start talking to him, like, he will make you laugh like no other. He's I think you'd be remiss to mention, I mean, he's probably one of the most brilliant offensive minds, you know, of this generation of football. Maybe the most consistently. I think that his offenses have been so dynamic everywhere he's been. And, you know, he's sustained people coming and going, leaving and whatnot. He was great in Green Bay. So there's something about Andy and how he puts together an offense, a roster, and a play calling that has just been so impressive. So, yeah, I think I don't know if that does it.
No, it covers a lot. I mean, Jason, we appreciate the thoughtful answer. That was a dissertation, and that was fascinating. It really was. Jason, good luck on Monday night. It's a big game, and we're fascinated to see how it goes down. Thanks so much for being a big part of today's show. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Joe.